front of the door, it's Dave!
Who?
Dave! D-A-V-E!
Dave?
Right, man, Dave.
Dave's not here!
Hey everyone, it's Dave. Welcome to another edition of Just What Do You Think You're Doing, Dave? So I wanted to tell a story today about myself. And the reason for it is I'm at a bit of a crossroads. I'm at that moment in time that a lot of us reach in life where, you know, your kids leave home, you wind up through no fault of your own or anything you did, changing careers or changing directions in your career. And you have to rethink where you are. So as far as the career goes, you know, I worked for a company for a long time and they decided they didn't need my services anymore and let me go. And the question is, do I take another job in a similar field or even maybe back at the same company, or do I go on and do other things? And that's where the crossroads comes, this reflection moment, this thing about what is it that I really want to do? I'm a little older. I'm not afraid to admit that. And I have a lot of experience, so I have something to offer. The question is, how do I offer it? And one of the things I've thought about is going into consulting and doing some consulting work. Look, I'm an engineer by trade. I could do good data analytics work, so I could certainly do that and make something work. And, you know, I think there's some great opportunities out there. I've seen a lot of them. But it's maybe that's not exactly what I want to do. I took a step back and thought about what it was that makes me tick. What is it that makes me interesting, that makes me who I am, that makes me want to get up in the morning? What is it? What are the things that I really love, what I'm passionate about? And I realized that creating content, these podcasts that I do, you know, I know they're not well received, they're not that well listened to, but remember that I started my podcast talking about the Dolphins, then moved on and talked about Disney, and now I'm doing this other thing that's sort of outside the bounds of all of those things. So I have a different perspective. And I enjoy doing this. It doesn't matter to me if almost no one listens to it. It's just the fun of doing it. I also enjoy creating YouTube content and doing some videos. I don't mind having my face out there. It's fine as far as that goes. So I'm happy to create some content that makes me happy and allows me to tell a story and be that great storyteller. I also like creating content online where I'm doing something creative and doing something fun. And it kind of relates back to the whole idea of, you know, this data stuff where I can take things and make something happen. I'm working on, I've got a Disney World trivia site out there. It's disneyworldpodcast.net. And you'll find there's a trivia game that's right there on the homepage. So I've got that. And I'm working on something else that's kind of fun that I don't want to talk about yet because I'm still kind of developing the idea out, fleshing it out a little bit. But it's another thing where it's sort of this interactive thing where you can look at something. Like I said, I don't want to get too far into it, but I'll talk about that one in the future. But those are the things that motivate me. Those are the things that make me happy. As I look back in my history and I think about all the jobs I've had in life, what are the jobs I loved? And, you know, you think about all these things I enjoyed. I worked at NASA for a period of time. I was a graduate research assistant from the University of Central Florida doing some work over there. And I enjoyed that. It was fun. It was a good time. But the bureaucracy of what goes on at the Space Center drove me nuts, as I think it drives most people nuts. And I couldn't get a full-time job there. It just didn't work out. So I wound up finding other things to do. But I did enjoy my time there doing that work. I enjoyed working. I was in the PC assembly line, several different parts of what went on with the personal computers at the old IBM complex in Boca for a couple of stints, both internships, work-study programs, whatever. And I enjoyed that a lot, too. That was a lot of fun. You know, it was fun to get in there and actually do some things. I guerrilla tested a lot of these software and hardware things that were coming out and had fun doing it. And you develop these testing methods and these things you do, and you work with... At the time, I hadn't been trained as an engineer yet, but you work with these smart engineers and you learn so much from them. And that's kind of where my thought process on being creative came from. It's like you come up with these ideas for how to do something, how to solve problems. And I was glad to be going to engineering school so I could solve those problems. It was great. And so I liked a lot of those jobs, but I think the number one job for me, the job I loved the most, and this is going to sound ridiculous, was working as a merchandise host in the Emporium in the Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World. Yep, I worked in that store And I was in there doing, you know, selling mouse ears, essentially. And I like to tell people it was the greatest job I ever had and the worst job I ever had. Greatest because you're dealing with so much fun and energy. There is so much happening all the time. And terrible because it's a 24-hour clock and it's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day that you could potentially be on. And so you wind up working weird hours, weird times, whatever. Now, I did a long-ranging piece about this on my Disney View podcast. So I'll put a link to that in my show notes here that go along with the this podcast. So you can go listen to that one if you want to, if you want to hear the full story of what it was like to work there and how it went. And that was 31 years ago, I believe, that I was there. And it was a phenomenal experience. I really, really enjoyed it. I mean, I really got a lot out of it. It was just one of those things where you feel like you're doing something and you feel like you're contributing to something in a way that's so different. Look, the pay wasn't great. It was better than, you know, your hourly wage job, you know, entry level type job, but it didn't pay that great. But it was just, there was some charm about it. There was something about it that just worked. And the camaraderie and the friends you make and the people you know along the way. And you become almost part of the secret society. I was thinking about that recently when I visited. You know, you talk to other people who are cast members today, and you have that connection to them just because you lived the same life in a way. Even if it was a long time ago, you still had that connection to what they did and what they're doing today, what you did and what they're doing today. It's pretty neat that way. So I realized that that was one of the jobs that I really loved. And I was recently at Walt Disney World, and I was there as park was closing in the Magic Kingdom. And I just kind of stood outside on Main Street and I watched people leaving the park. And it was just this amazing sort of experience. It was sort of, you know, I'm home, right? That moment when you realize this is fantastic. I'm watching everyone leave. I'm just standing on the corner and I'm watching everyone. And it's like, everyone's having a good time. You know, you see a few crying kids and whatever, but you know, it's because they're tired, not because they had a bad time. And everyone's smiling and everyone's laughing and everyone's having a nice time. And they're leaving the park and you're thinking, wow, you know, at some point the magic was made for them. As they went through the park. And then I wandered into the Emporium. So it's about closing time. You know, they're getting ready to close up the shop. What I remember about the Emporium was they always stayed open about an hour to an hour and a half after the park closed, just because that's, you want to sell as much merchandise as you can. And it's the last store before you leave. And it's the biggest store in the park. So you want to make sure that people have an opportunity to spend. So about an hour after the park closed, I wandered in and I just walked around the store. And I was watching the cast members that were working there. They're wearing the same costumes that I wore, so it's very familiar. And I'm watching them come out and stocking the shelves. Very familiar. I'm watching them close out the registers. Very familiar. I'm watching them close down the store. There's a sort of method to it. And I'm watching them do it, and I'm like, wow, this is so familiar. And it was just amazing. And then I was watching a couple of cast members interacting with a couple of guests, and it was interesting to watch them because that's how I interacted with the guests too. I interacted with one or two cast members along the way too, and I had that moment. And then I watched them, you know, like interacting with each other, because as the store gets less and less busy, they're starting to turn on their own charm internally among themselves, which is something that I always did at the end of every night. We always did, all of us. You know, the store is basically closed. There's just a few guests left. And now instead of interacting with the guests and worried about, you know, the nature of the store and making sure that everything's stocked and the registers are all taken care of and everything, now you're just having fun. You're becoming yourself in a way. And I'm watching this and I'm thinking to myself, this was what it was all about. This moment right here, it took me back 30 years. It was like I was there. It was like I was a cast member watching them. And I was a fly on the wall, basically, because they didn't care if I was there or not there. If I needed something, I could have interrupted them, sure. But they didn't really care if I was there. They were just doing their thing. And I was like hanging around. And it was just amazing to kind of watch, sort of through the eyes of someone from 30 years in the past. It was so weird. It was like this out-of-body experience. And I'm watching it, and I had this moment of just like complete and utter understanding, and just, you know, like you become one with the universe for a few moments, right? Everything just sort of lines up, and you feel like, wow, this feels right. And I realized that those were the moments that made me happy. And I'm not saying I want to go back and work at Disney again, because like I said, the pay was terrible, the hours were terrible, whatever. But to be able to reflect back on what made me happy, what made me tick, to think about the things that actually made me content with what I was doing, were kind of interesting. You know, as I think about my career, you know, I sort of happened into things along the way. I don't know that I ever really had much of a career trajectory in a way. I just sort of happened into things. You know, it's like I took this job, I took that job, I took this other job, I got promoted within the job and whatever. And never really felt like I belonged anywhere. But yet at Disney, I always felt like I belonged. In fact, one of the things I noticed was when I was working there, it was like you have this progression. You go in and anybody can work a register. And they have you working on the register and you're just sitting there and you're punching in the numbers and scanning everything, whatever. You know, that's it. And if you do good at that and you show any aptitude beyond that, they move you to stocking the floors. And so because if you don't have merchandise to sell, you don't have anything to sell. So you wind up having to stock the floors. And I was efficient at it. I was really good at it. I could make sure that we had everything out there, and I was good at interacting with other cast members and guests and whatever. And I got noticed. And, you know, I moved to what they called control stock, which was basically making sure that there was merchandise coming into the store. And that was kind of that was an amazing experience because you really have something beyond. And then I remember a supervisor coming to me one day and asking me if I had any knowledge of finances and whatever. You know, I can see some aptitude in you, kid. Would you be interested in doing some work for us in finances? And yeah, absolutely. You know, so I sat there and for a couple of weeks, I did the budgets for the store. I don't know why it was me that they picked, but you know, I showed some aptitude and some skill, and it was interesting, and it was a great experience. And you see this progression, right? Had I stayed around for longer, I'm sure I could have moved up to the lead. I'm sure I could have moved up to a supervisor. I'm sure I could have moved to some other department if I wanted to move out of merchandise, because I had the skills, the will, and the attitude. And those are the things that make it tick. And as I look back on it, I realize, you know, that was the place that I felt the most connected. You know, like I said, I happened into every other job. It just sort of happened along the way. And I wound up doing the job, and I may have been good at it, but I never felt connected. You know, these large companies, they don't care about you to a large degree. Maybe your direct supervisor does, maybe some other people in the area do. But what I realized, you know, I wound up leaving my last job after I got let go. And I had very little connection with anybody that I used to interact with. And I was there for almost 30 years and I didn't have that connection with anybody. And it was weird that it sort of disappeared, right? It just got turned off. And I lost all those connections. And I thought, wow, you know, it's interesting how I went from being, you know, somebody that everybody looked to for certain types of data to being, oh, who's that guy? I don't remember him. I found it interesting that, you know, one day you're up, one day you're last week's news. And as I think about, as I reflect back, when I left Disney, when I decided it was time to leave, I had a lot of people tell me they were sorry to see me go. We had a lot of connections with people. We didn't have email at the time, but I got some phone numbers and a few other things from people that stay in touch. And we did for a short time. But even the supervisors were like, are you sure we can't entice you to stay? Are we sure there's something else we can't do? Maybe we could, you know, at least put you on the list to remind you every so often to come back during the holidays or whatever. Because they were interested in me. Yes, I realize that part of that is a strategy thing because I'm competent and, you know, I can do the job, but it's more than that. I just find that really interesting that it felt like a different connection because I was more connected. Yeah, I was younger, certainly. And, you know, all the kids that work there, because there's a lot of college kids that work there, they were all younger too. So I felt connected in that sense. But it was just interesting to see how that all kind of played out. And as I think back and reflect back on my life, that's the time that I was the happiest working. You know, I haven't been, you know, I wouldn't say that most of the jobs I've taken made me happy. And when I think about something, a piece of advice my dad gave me many years ago, he said, you know, be happy in what you do. Do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. And he's right. You know, as I think about all these things that I did, and I never felt this great contentment, this great moment where I felt like, oh, I'm doing some great things here. It just never felt like that. So it's interesting when I reflect back and I think about all the things that went on. So I think the only avenue for me is really to find any kind of consulting job that I may find appealing. You know, something where I can do something where I feel like I make a difference, I feel like I matter, and I don't have to have that weird connection thing and go into the office and do these things and play the stupid games that they want to play. That's not for me anymore. You know, and honestly, I don't know if it was ever for me, but I played along. We all have our things in life that we do and we do well. That's not one that I do. And I think that's why I never really got promoted and why I never really did anything, if I'm being honest with myself, because I didn't play those games. I'm this person. I'm this person you're hearing on this podcast. where I'm just open and honest, and I don't play these little silly games that, you know, people like to play at companies. And so I fit at Disney and I didn't fit other places. Interesting. You know, it's just a realization that I came to that I am who I am and I can't change that. It's just funny how that works. And as I reflect back on it, I think to myself, wow, what an interesting time, you know, that whole experience was. And it helps guide me a little more in the rest of my, you know, time working, whatever time I'm going to be working, to decide how to work and what to do best. Not saying I wouldn't go back to a big company, but I go into it with a different set of open eyes. Maybe I fall into something, or maybe I actually do that because I want to do that. Maybe I go somewhere because it's something I want to do instead of just falling into it for the first time. And I guess that's really where it's going for me at this point. I make a decision and I do the best I can at this point. Anyway, it just was interesting. And I wanted to kind of share that with you because I had that moment, that epiphany, that thing. And if you're listening to this, I hope you can relate to it in some way. And that's it. That's all I've got. So remember, if we can dream it, we can always do it. Bye now.
What's your point, David?